Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're here again, taking your source material and, well, pulling out the really crucial stuff, the knowledge you can actually use. And if you're the kind of person who's always watching, always thinking about those little interactions at work, the dynamics, then yeah, this deep dive is definitely for you.
Definitely. Today, we're jumping into some really interesting source material. It kind of mixes personal identity, you know, who we think we are, with how we act professionally. We're looking at these excerpts about something called Coworker Zodiac Boss Dynamics.
Right.
And our mission really is to unpack how these big existing frameworks like the Zodiac get used, maybe as shortcuts, to understand what's going on inside an office. You know, the hierarchies, the everyday behaviors.
And what I like about this source is how it just cuts straight to the chase. It focuses on the two things people seem to worry about most, or at least notice most, in the workplace. It sets up our whole chat with these two really direct questions. The source literally asks, Zodiac signs as coworkers, who's the boss and who's running late?
Brilliant, isn't it? Because those two little phrases, they capture so much, almost everything about how things function. Who's in charge?
Yeah.
Who's the boss? That's all about authority, leadership, who seems dominant, right?
Right.
And then who's running late? That hits on reliability, sticking to the rules, basic trust, dependability.
It's such a potent pairing. The system isn't messing around with like minor preferences, it's trying to map out the absolute basics of working together successfully.
Right.
Unsuccessfully.
Precisely. And for you listening, the real insight here isn't about, you know, are the star charts accurate? It's more about seeing that human tendency, that need almost, to grab onto any system, zodiac, personality test, whatever, to make sense of the messy reality of people working together. The aha moment is understanding why we want these quick maps for figuring out who's in charge and who we can count on.
Okay, so let's tackle that first big one, authority. The source asks, who's the boss, based on a birthday? That suggests this model is proposing, what, like a preset command structure, or at least a strong tendency towards leadership based on your sign?
Well, what's really interesting is how it tries to kind of sidestep the usual ways we think about hierarchy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the org chart, who got promoted, who has the most experience. It pushes this other idea, this older way of thinking, suggesting some signs just are leaders. They have the drive, the ambition, the presence, maybe,
right,
regardless of their actual job title.
But that seems like it would clash immediately with how most modern workplaces say they operate, right? Usually, who's the boss is decided by performance, experience, training, things you achieve. If people start buying into this astrological model, isn't it setting up a kind of internal story that might contradict the official one?
Oh, absolutely. It offers a counter narrative.
Yep.
And that's part of its appeal, psychologically speaking. Think about it. If the official structure feels a bit random or promotions seem unclear, this model gives people a quick, easy grid. Okay, that's the pecking order based on personality type.
Yeah.
If you start seeing a coworker as a born leader because of their sign, you might subconsciously give them more weight, even if on paper someone else is in charge.
I see. So the model isn't necessarily predicting who gets the corner office. It's more like a mental shortcut for figuring out who seems dominant within the team itself, who's likely to take charge in a crunch, or whose opinion carries more weight informally.
Exactly right. It's a way to manage the ambiguity emotionally and intellectually. Leadership, authority, they're complicated. They depend on context.
Yeah.
The system just tried to slice through all that complexity and say, okay, this sign acts like a boss, so maybe approach them that way. It's like we're adjusting our behavior based on this conceptual idea.
Let's push on that a bit. If a certain sign keeps getting tagged as the boss sign, do the people born under that sign maybe start internalizing it? Do they consciously or unconsciously start acting more like that authoritative figure the model describes?
Ah, now that's the really fascinating implication, isn't it? It brings that whole idea of a self-fulfilling prophecy right into the office coffee room. If you constantly read descriptions of your sign as being powerful, decisive, a leader, well, that label can become part of how you see yourself professionally, and then you start acting it out. So the external system, the zodiac in this case, starts influencing your internal self-image, which then makes you behave in ways that confirm the system's original prediction. It's complicated fast.
Okay. That makes sense for the power dynamics, the hierarchy mapping. But now we need to shift gears to that second question from the source. Equally important, maybe even more relatable day to day. If the first part was about the big picture power structures, the second half is about the everyday social contract, reliability. Let's talk about who's running late.
Yeah, this shift is key. Because being late, or conversely, being on time, it's probably the most visible, immediate way we judge colleagues on respect and dependability. The source material here tries to connect the signs not just to these big leadership traits, but to the nitty-gritty, sometimes annoying reality of just managing your time and keeping your commitments.
Oh, everyone knows that feeling. Waiting for a meeting, waiting for that report, and there's always that one person. Mm-hmm. This model seems to want to take that common frustration and just bake it into the coworker's basic identity. Like, oh, it's not their fault, it's their sign.
Exactly. And look at what that explanation replaces. Yeah. Normally, if someone's always late, we might think, okay, they're disorganized, or they don't respect my time, or they can't prioritize. This model offers a different out. It's just how they are.
Yeah.
It's predetermined by their sign. Lateness becomes an astrological tendency, not necessarily a personal failing.
So instead of pushing for them to change their behavior, the person observing is given a story that helps them kind of file away the frustration. You're basically saying, okay, there's an external, unchanging reason for this annoying internal problem.
Precisely. It provides what you might call narrative smoothing. We like things to make sense, right? We look for patterns. If someone's late once, fine. If they're late every single Tuesday morning, that's a pattern that needs explaining. Assigning it to a category like a zodiac sign creates a predictable pattern out of something that feels unpredictable and disruptive. And ironically, that makes the unreliable behavior feel more manageable. You're not dealing with a performance issue anymore. You're dealing with a fixed characteristic.
But doesn't that massively undercut accountability? That seems like the big risk here. If the framework says, oh, well, Leos are always late or whatever sign it might be, the expectation just shifts, doesn't it? Instead of seeing it as a problem to be fixed, it just becomes a trait, like having brown hair, something you just have to work around.
That is the fundamental trade-off with these kinds of predictive models. That's the core tension. You gain simplicity. You spend less mental energy trying to figure out the why behind the behavior.
Yeah.
But you potentially lose the ability, or maybe the motivation, to actually enforce professional standards. If a manager actually used this system seriously, they might just accept poor timekeeping because, hey, that's just how Virgos are, or whatever.
The practical outcome is pretty stark, then. The system gives you an easy label, sure, but that label could end up normalizing stuff that's actually quite unprofessional. The conversation changes from how do we fix this lateness problem to how do we adapt to this person's inherent lateness.
And it loops back perfectly to managing expectations, which we talked about earlier. Authority and reliability, the two pillars of getting work done together. By offering a quick cheat sheet for both, this zodiac model tries to shield you from being surprised. You won't be shocked by who steps up or who holds things up because the system supposedly told you who they were going to be months ago just based on their birthday.
Okay, let's try and pull this together. Looking back at the source material, this coworker zodiac boss dynamics idea, it's essentially positioning the zodiac as this efficient analysis tool designed to quickly predict and sort coworkers based on two really key things: authority, the boss factor, and reliability, the punctuality factor.
Yeah, that's the promise, isn't it? Engage with this system, and bam, you got the secret decoder ring for the office. You'll instantly know who's likely to be in charge and who's likely to be, well, late. It's trying to substitute the slow, messy process of actually getting to know people over time with this neat, supposedly objective chart based on something fixed, like a birth date.
This has really been quite a dive into why these external models are so appealing in the workplace and what they actually imply structurally. We've looked at how they try to map both the big picture leadership stuff and the small scale everyday punctuality issues.
And if we zoom out, connecting it to how you, the listener, gain knowledge quickly, it really highlights this deep human need we have to categorize, to label things. Whether it's this specific zodiac model or maybe the Enneagram or even those corporate personality tests, the goal is often the same. Find quick, clear answers about complex things like hierarchy and behavior.
So as you go about your week, observing things at work, maybe pay a bit more attention to this tendency. Because I want to leave you with one final thought, something that builds on all this. How much does simply believing in one of these predictive systems, Zodiac, Myers-Briggs, whatever it is, how much does that belief itself actually change what happens?
Yeah, think about that. If you start a project, and you're already thinking, based on some system, okay, Sarah's the one who's always late, do you subconsciously start scheduling buffer time around her? Do you maybe not rely on her for time-sensitive things, effectively making her expected lateness less of a problem, and maybe even enabling it?
Or the flip side, if you expect someone to be a leader because their profile says so.
Right. Do you unconsciously defer to them more? Do you give their ideas more weight, basically granting them the authority the system predicted they should have.
That's the really powerful kind of recursive nature of these systems, isn't it? They don't just describe what is, they can actually shape it by molding our expectations. Something to definitely chew on next time you encounter a colleague who seems to fit neatly into some pre-assigned box.
Keep an eye out for those hidden assumptions. They're powerful.
Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into how we categorize each other at work. We'll see you next time.